It's good to see you today. I was looking forward, as I think some of you were, of meeting outside today, and we planned for that. But as Zach said, plans change. Plans change. My wife has often reminded me that flexibility is one of the keys to finding peace on earth. How many of you understand that? We got to roll with the punches sometimes and be ready to go with the flow. But thankfully, we're in the flow of God's love and grace and mercy. Today we're going to be looking again at a close encounter that Jesus had with someone in the scriptures. We're going to be looking at Mark 7. That's page 1564 in your pew Bibles, if you would choose to open them there. Some of you may have received a handout, or you can certainly use whatever device you may have brought with you today. We're going to pick up in verse 24 in a minute. Now, this story involves a woman who comes to Jesus who would not have been considered to be one of God's chosen people, okay? So that's important for us to get as we approach this text, but we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. In verse 24, it says, Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Verse 27 says, "First let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Now, once more, we're seeing something here. Jesus is seeking some solitude and rest. How many times have we seen this theme? But once again, wherever he goes, his attempts seem futile as desperate people keep seeking him out. Here he's retired to the region of Tyre, which was a pretty pagan place, well known for idolatry. And the Jewish people, well, they had little use for the residents of this area. Still, it seems that Jesus, being a Jew, is still being incredibly rude to this woman on the surface. I assure you, he's not. He is not. Let's read on, and we're going to read the account of this story found now in Matthew 15, verse 21 through 28, and maybe it will help give us some insight. In verse 21 of Matthew 15, it says, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now notice that Matthew identifies this woman as Canaanite. She was from a tribe of people who had been bitter enemies of the Hebrews. Four generations. The Hebrews referred to them as dogs. Mere mutts or mongrels that would be scavenging the streets for scraps. When she first comes to Jesus, Matthew indicates she was ignored by him, or so it seems, saying he didn't answer her a word, didn't reply to her at all. Yet, rather than go away with her tail tucked between her legs, she presses his disciples for an audience with him. So much so that they're getting irritated, and they ask Jesus to make her stop nipping at our heels. And here's where I believe it becomes very apparent. that what seems on the surface to be an insult from Jesus is actually a teaching opportunity for his followers and a tender encounter with this poor woman. To see it, though, you may need to put on your Israelite-issued first century glasses. Again, remember how the Jewish people looked upon her and her tribe, her nation of people. Jesus does say here and indicate that the Messiah's first priority was to reach the lost sheep of Israel. And it was. He was sent first to the people of Israel. His mission would not end there, but it was definitely where it was to begin. Eventually, the range of the good news of the gospel would extend to all nations, but the time hadn't quite come for that yet. Secondly, it's not always obvious in the original Greek text of our Bible when instead of making a statement, a question is actually being imposed. It's got to do with tone. Sometimes the accent marks, the question marks, the punctuation marks just aren't there in the text. Sometimes even the words that could be a tell that it's a question aren't there. You have to kind of look at the context, the immediate context of the words, consider who's speaking, consider the overall tone and character of that person speaking, and the broader context of the Bible. See, I know that Jesus was never rude to someone who honestly and earnestly was pleading for help. We can rule that out. So if it appears like he's being rude, I assure you, he is not. I'm actually convinced that his words were meant as much, if not more, see, for the disciples to hear. He wanted them to think carefully. Would helping this woman somehow violate his calling to them, to the Jewish people? And the idea there is some of the texts translate and say only to, but that only is not in the original language. It's almost like he is then more of a question to them rather than a statement. That's why I used the tone I did when I read it in Matthew's account. Almost like he's saying to them, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. I'm convinced that, again, he wanted them to know and to understand the larger scope of God's vision for reaching the lost. Once again, it began with them, but it was not limited to them and would not be. Lately, and lastly, I should say, Jesus uses a word here that might not be obvious to us at first, but some of the translations have at least used the term little dogs. It's a word for house pets, puppies, if you wish. He's saying it's not right to give the children's food to their dogs, to the children's dogs. That's not harsh, but it is honest if we think about it. I've known some folks, and maybe you have, who've been going through some difficult times, and they say they can't afford to adequately provide for their kids, but somehow they manage to spend a bundle on dog food. Now, I understand. Listen carefully. I know we can get very attached to our pets, can't we? Very attached to our pets. And we want to take care of them, and we should take care of them. But they should never take priority over our children. And that's what really Jesus is saying here. Think about it. With this idea, doesn't it help us to understand the woman's response? After all, wild stray dogs wouldn't be allowed in the house, would they? Let alone anywhere near the table. Which is even the dogs under the table get scraps. See, now with that background, understanding that, what does the Holy Spirit want for us to learn? I believe that Jesus certainly wanted his disciples to understand something. And he wanted this woman to understand something. But he wants us to understand something. What's he want us to learn from this encounter? Well, here are a few lessons, at least, that I see in the text. Are you ready? We're going to be looking at this woman. She's a story example for us. She's an example in this story of a faith-filled intercessory prayer. You might know what intercession is, praying for someone, interceding for someone. She's come to Jesus on behalf of who? Her daughter. And as she does that, she's believing that he can heal her. She's seeking deliverance for her child. How many parents can identify with her today? I know many mothers and fathers and grandparents who pray for their kids every day. And that's good to do, right? They should do that. And I'm so thankful when I know that parents and grandparents are praying for their kids, doing that every day, even when things are going well. But when troubles come, be it problems with health or trouble at school or struggles with personal demons, those who care about their kids drop to their knees like this woman did, pleading for his help. Don't they? Don't we? Yet I can't stress enough, prayers for our kids must come from hearts of faith. Again, she believed, didn't she, that Jesus could help. He was capable of helping, of delivering her daughter. Paul wrote these instructions in 1 Timothy 2:1. He says, I urge you, speaking to believers, but speaking to Timothy to pass this on to believers, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Even that idea of praying for all people, not just those in your family, not just those that are of your tribe, not just those that you are in agreement with, not just, but for all people. Even Jesus would say, pray for our enemies and those who persecute us and despitefully abuse us, to pray for all people and give thanks for them, interceding, see. And this woman is interceding for her daughter. James also tells us in chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, when you ask God, you must believe and not doubt. Anyone who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown up and down by the wind. Such doubters are thinking two different things at the same time, and they cannot decide about anything they do. They should not think they will receive anything from the Lord. So again, this woman coming, believing and not doubting in Jesus' ability. And that's how we need to be too, praying in faith. The woman in the story also shows us true humility, doesn't she? She'd come on her knees and appealed to Jesus from a place of need, not greed. She didn't have an ounce of this attitude of entitlement we see so much of today. It's as if she acknowledged she wasn't one of God's favored ones. But that didn't change the fact that her daughter was in desperate circumstance. Her daughter desperately needed delivered. And she desperately in her heart needed for her daughter to be delivered. She wasn't asking for even an equal portion. Did you notice that? Let alone a greater one than the children of promise. She asked only for what? Scraps from the table. Just scraps from the table. Now, scraps from the Lord's table are still pretty wonderful, aren't they? What if we approached our Lord with this kind of humility when we're interceding for someone? Not coming to him on the basis of what we think we deserve, but solely upon the merit of God's mercy. Coming only looking for mercy and knowing that we have a God. God who can deliver and cares enough to deliver. In Matthew 23, verse 12, Jesus said, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And James 4:10 urges us, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Reminds me of the camp song. I remember gathering around with the folks at camp, just singing this a cappella. We didn't have any accompaniment with us. And, oh, the beauty of singing together. But more than that, the beauty of proclaiming together the truth that if we humble ourselves before him, he will lift us up. The woman in the story is also an example of persistence, isn't she? She didn't give up easily. To be honest, if I'd have been in her sandals, I think I'd have felt, well, slighted at first, maybe even humiliated. I'd have been hurt, maybe even a little angry. But no matter how she may have felt, she didn't lose her focus, did she? Jesus would later speak of a widow in Luke 18 who pestered a judge until he finally said to himself in verse 4 through 5, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman's driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests." Jesus says in this parable that we should learn a lesson from this unjust judge. For in verse 7, he says, even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? I think it's interesting, even in what Jesus says here, he talks about, again, the justice coming quickly to the chosen ones. But again, he responded to one who wasn't among the chosen people because she chose to put her faith and trust in Jesus. And she chose to risk humiliation, to risk rejection, and still come begging, pleading for mercy. And she received it, didn't she? This brings me full circle. This example of this woman, well, it's incredibly valuable. But if we were to leave here today thinking only about her and her example, we will have missed the point. Because this woman actually points us to Jesus. We should come to Jesus like her, but Jesus is the one we need to come to. He's the one whom we have to approach in time of need. He's the only one who can help, and he alone deserves our praise. See, it was faith in him that motivated her to plead on her daughter's behalf, wasn't it? It was faith in him that moved her to risk that humiliation and possible rejection. It was faith in him that kept her asking until her prayer was answered. Luke 18, verse 1, tells us that parable we referred to about the persistent widow, well, it was told by Jesus for a specific reason. Now, we're not always told exactly why the parables are told, why he chooses to tell them to who he did, when he did. But we're told in verse 1 of this text, just before the parable, he says, he told them this parable to show his disciples that they should always pray and not give up. To always pray and not give up. So, whomever we may be concerned for today, we should pray for them, intercede on their behalf. We should approach Jesus humbly, but also persistently, to continue to pray and to ask for the deliverance that's needed for our loved ones. And again, maybe for those we don't even know that well, but we know need his help, his deliverance. And we need to pray in faith, believing and trusting. Believing and trusting. I'm so thankful for those who have prayed for me in my times of trouble. I'm thankful for a mother who I believe prayed for me before I knew she was. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for people who have prayed for me in circumstances and situations where I wasn't even aware at all that they were praying for me, but I'm thankful. Because, you know, I don't think she was trying to draw attention to herself. I don't think for a moment that she thought, well, you know what, I'm going to do this, and my record is going to be recorded in the scripture of what I did, and everybody's going to praise me. I don't think that was anything in her moving that day. I don't think that was there at all, do you? She went because she believed in Jesus, and she was desperately concerned for her daughter. Great example, right? For us to go to Jesus. Who does respond? Does respond. He responds to faith that is truly displayed. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for this story again today that's not just something that someone told, but rather that's been recorded by the Holy Spirit for us to be able to read about something that really happened, an event. We don't know this woman, what her name was. We do know that, again, Father, she was desperate and that she gives a good example today of how to approach your throne of grace in our time of need. We're thankful, Father, for this example again of Jesus going beyond and what people might have expected him to be there for people who came and cried out for help. Father, we want to thank you for the knowledge today that we are your children, that you chose us, but not because we deserved it, but, Father, because of your grace and mercy. And we're thankful that we have this avenue of prayer, that we can approach you at any time through Jesus, and we can pray on behalf of our family and our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, and yes, for those, again, we may not even know, or those we do know that, well, have heard us. Father, as we pray, Father, help us to believe, to have great, great faith that you will hear our prayers and you will respond. Thank you for loving us so much. In Jesus' name, and amen.